introducing a subject upon which I will be speaking for several Sunday mornings, the Lord helping. The signs of the times. Scriptural reasons and contemporary events which calls any and every thoughtful student of the Word to believe that the day of the coming of our Lord is much nearer than most people think. In Matthew 16, verse 1, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven, some physical, visible phenomena in the heavens. We read in other places that the Jew desireth or seeketh a sign. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it'll be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the signs of the times. Can ye not discern the signs of the times? Observing the face of the sky, you can tell of the weather tomorrow. But the signs of the times you cannot discern. The disciples said unto our Lord, when he told of the approaching doom of Jerusalem, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age? May the Lord bless the reading of this brief portion of his word, to which we'll address ourselves in a few moments. It seems that from time immemorial, man has had a desire and a longing to know the future. Thinking perhaps that if he knew the future, he could make better plans for the present. If he knew the future, perhaps he could avoid pitfalls and errors. If he knew the future, could rest secure in schemes and plans he himself could develop. Many and varied have been the attempts of man to pry into the future. There are the oracles of old, wherein rulers, other individuals, would go to a medium situated in some natural or artificial cave, from the recesses of which they would speak, there were those who could tell by the flight of birds if they veered to the right, had certain significance, to the left, another, straight ahead, still another. There have always been certain witches with their magic brew. Then there have been mechanical devices whereby individuals sought to pry into the unknown of the future. The falling of the cards, the turning over of particular ones, the settling of the tea leaves in a cup, the Ouija board, the study of the bumps upon an individual's head. God has forbidden man to go beyond that which he permits in seeking to delve into the things that pertain to the future. God has revealed in his word everything that he wants us to know concerning the future, and has forbidden, prohibited man from any other recourse. Overzealous Puritans had the ducking stool for witches in the early days of the colonies. There have been days when witches were put to death. I would dare say that today more people seek, contrary to the Lord, to pry into the future by the aid of astrological charts than to look into the Word of God and see what he has said. God has never brought an important event to pass in the life of the nations of the world without first making it known to his prophets, as it's been revealed in the Bible. Our Lord has said that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Looking at the days of Noah briefly, we see that they had in that day ample warning, being forewarned of the approaching flood which was to destroy all flesh from off the face of the earth. There was a warning inherent in the building of the ark, construction of which sufficient to attract the attention of the people and to elicit from them questions as to why And Noah could tell them why. An impending judgment upon all flesh. And the means of escape is being provided. The prolonged preaching of Noah was ample witness and testimony to the fact that something was coming. God said that His Spirit does not always strive with man, yet I'll give him the benefit of the preaching of my prophet Noah for 120 years. The entering into the ark of the animals. A very prominent witness to the fact that something was about to happen. No other explanation of the animals coming and entering in the ark under the leadership and direction of God. Sodom and Gomorrah had ample warning of their approaching destruction. Pharaoh and the Egyptians, ample warning of the approaching judgments of God. And down through history, the scripture documents the fact that every great judgment of God was preceded by ample warning. And the greatest cataclysmic destructive hour this world will have witnessed up to that moment will be at the time of the appearing of our Lord, when the saints are caught up to meet Him in the air. Only God Himself has any concept of the destruction that will take place here upon the earth when every Christian is removed. I can visualize easily in my mind the highways of the nations of the world with the speeding buses, trucks, automobiles, and other vehicles when every Christian is removed. The consequent destruction involved, go into every realm of life and consider every Christian being removed. Our Lord again and again and again warns us to watch, be vigilant, alert, that that day not come upon us unaware. You and I can know that the day is approaching. We accept the statement of the Word of God that no man knoweth the day nor the hour. But our Lord Himself referred to the days immediately preceding His second advent. I say our Lord likened those days to a woman in travail. The first throes of the birth pangs as they strike the body, announcing the soon deliverance. And whereas we cannot know the day nor the hour, we can know that the hour is approaching and be prepared. Now in the passage which I read from Matthew 16, our Lord was rebuking the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, because they had not read the signs of the times and know or known that the Messiah had come. There were ample signs bespeaking the first advent of our Lord. The first one to which I call your attention is to be found in the 9th chapter of Daniel. Daniel, chapter 9. We read from verse 1. Recall that Daniel's in captivity. He's been in captivity almost 70 years. And as he's in captivity, he delights and occupies himself with the study of prophecy. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name is called Belteshazzar. The thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. Excuse me, I was reading from the 10th chapter. I'll turn back to the 9th. You read long enough, you'll soon know whether you're right or wrong. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Daniel says, I was studying the prophecy of Jeremiah, and it came to my attention, as I was studying the prophecy of Jeremiah, that the Lord had appointed the captivity of the children of Israel to be a period of 70 years. And Daniel had reason enough to know that the 70 years of captivity were about to expire. With the expiration of the 70 years of captivity, there would come the return of the children of Israel to Jerusalem, to the land of Israel, the reinauguration of the temple services and life of Israel under the Old Testament laws. And there came into the heart and the mind of Daniel the thought that the establishment of the kingdom of the heavens, of which Daniel spoke, would be accomplished. But we read in the 23rd verse of the same 9th chapter how that the angel of the Lord comes to Daniel and says, at the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks, or literally 77s. 77s are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city. You are thinking that at the expiration of 70 years, the kingdom is going to be established. But I have determined 70 times 7. Now, the key to the interpretation of the word sevens or weeks is to be found in the context. And the context is speaking of 70 years. So the 77s are 70 times 7 years, or 490 years. Now, Daniel, you have it in your mind that the kingdom of the heavens, or the rule of the heavens over the earth, is going to be established at the expiration of the 70 years. Not so. I have determined that there'll be another 490 years in the life of Israel before the establishment of the kingdom. 490 years. Now, as we read further and come to the 25th verse of this ninth chapter, we have the Lord dividing this 490 years into three periods, two of which have been accomplished. The third remains to be fulfilled. The two accomplished were accomplished the time our Lord died upon Calvary's cross. At the time our Lord was speaking to these Pharisees and Sadducees of their failure to discern the signs of the times, the period was not yet accomplished, but they could know that it was about to be accomplished. Read 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 sevens and 62 sevens. Now there are the two periods of time. 7 sevens are 49 years. 62 sevens, which would be 483 in all. 69. And then the 7 times the 7. Now let's look. Look carefully. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem until Messiah is going to be 69 sevens. 483 years or 69 sevens. Now, turn back to Isaiah. Our Lord told Satan, it's written in another place, again and again, has our Lord set forth in His Word, we're to compare Scripture with Scripture. I've had the pleasure of being in many outstanding prophetic conferences. I've had the pleasure of hearing some of the great men of God as they opened up the Word of prophecy. But I never ceased to be amazed and to marvel at the lack of unanimity in their interpretation of the beginning of this period of time, the 490 years. Now, in Daniel it says, from the time of the going forth of the decree to rebuild the city, Jerusalem, the temple, to rebuild, from the time that decree goes forth until Messiah is cut off will be 483 years. Now, here is the decree, the issue decreed. Isaiah 44:28, talking about the Lord God Almighty that saith of Cyrus, here he mentions a man by name 200 years before he's born, that saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. Cyrus issued the decree, and from the moment that Cyrus issued that decree, 483 years would elapse, and Messiah would be cut off. Let's read 25 again in Daniel 9. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, the streets shall be built and the wall even in troublous times. Now the first period of time, the 7 weeks, are 7 times 7, 49. is the length of time took to build the temple, restore the temple when they returned. 49 years to restore the temple. Now, after that, this 62 sevens, which added to the 49, make 483. Now, look in verse 26. Now, after 62 weeks, those which follow the 49 years, or the 7 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off. After 483 years, Messiah is going to be cut off. But not for himself. It's for us. Now, here is the first sign that God Almighty gave to the children of Israel, telling them of the time of the first advent of our Lord. When the decree has been issued for the children of Israel to return and rebuild the city, the temple, and the wall, when that decree is issued, count the years. And 483 years from the time the decree is issued, the Messiah will be cut off. And the time that our Lord was talking was just a little while before Messiah was cut off. There wasn't a Jew alive with any intelligence in those days, but what, with the evidence and the documented records at hand, could know that the 483 years were just about up, and it's time for the Messiah to come and to be cut off. There was another sign that should have attracted attention and revealed unto many. One day in the streets of Jerusalem were noted wise men from the east, asking one question: where is he that is born King of the Jews? Here were wise men from the east walking the streets of Jerusalem, announcing to the inhabitants of Jerusalem that the King of the Jews, the Messiah, had been born. There it was. They emphasized their question with this statement: for we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. They should have remembered the prophecy of Jacob. We have seen his star in the east. Turn to Genesis 49. As Jacob lay upon his deathbed, having gathered his sons around the bed, he then proceeded to tell them that which would happen to them in the last days. And we come to the 9th verse, the prophecy of Jacob concerning his fourthborn son, Judah. Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey, my son. Thou art gone up. He stooped down. He couched as a lion and as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. The scepter shall not depart from Judah until Shiloh come. Now, keeping that in mind, Numbers 24. Numbers 24. As we come to the 24th chapter of Numbers, we have the scepter mentioned again in connection with the star. Verse 17 of Numbers 24, out of one of the parables spoken by Balaam, the false prophet, who, though he attempted to curse the children of Israel was caused by God to pronounce a blessing upon them. And in the 17th verse, he says, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not now. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and the scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. Now, we pass by temporarily the reference to the scepter, and look at the star. There shall rise a star out of Jacob. The rabbis of old, from time immemorial, have associated the star out of Jacob with the star which the wise men saw in the east. A phenomena, a sign in the heavens, the wise men saw, having been instructed by God, by what means we know not. They appreciated the fact that the appearance of the star bespoke the birth of the Messiah. And not only that, this phenomenon occurred when the wise men were informed by Herod, as he asked his so-called spiritual advisors where the king of the Jews would be born. And they quoted that passage from the 5th chapter of Micah in the 2nd verse, in which they said, out of Bethlehem is this one to come. Bethlehem is the place. The wise men, hearing the prophecy of Micah, believing the prophecy of Micah, started to Bethlehem as they left the palace of the king in Jerusalem. The star which they had seen in the east appeared. The star which they had seen in the east approximately 2 years before now appeared again. And this star led them about 8 miles down the road to Bethlehem and came to rest over a house in which the young child Jesus was. Manifest, evident signs. The star, the wise men. Now, I read of the scepter. The scepter shall not depart from Judah until Shiloh come. The scepter shall not depart from Judah until Shiloh come. The scepter was a symbol of civil authority. The scepter, the symbol. In our nation, the flag is the symbol. Those who do not recognize the authority of our nation over their lives do shame and reproach to and upon the flag of our nation. Let it be said once and for all, and never forgotten, that civil government was inaugurated by God. And any revolt against that is a revolt against God. The scepter. Now, the power of the scepter is set forth in Genesis 9 and 6, to which I'll not turn now, but you keep that in mind. Genesis 9 and 6. The power, the sum and substance of the scepter of civil government is Genesis 9 and 6, which says, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. Now, the scepter, the content, the significance of the scepter is in the power to execute capital punishment. And what our Lord said in Genesis 49 and 10 was that the power to execute capital sentence upon an individual shall not pass from Judah until Shiloh comes. But when Shiloh comes, when the Lord Jesus Christ shall come, Judah will no longer have the power to execute the sentence of capital punishment. Now, in John chapter 18, we read of the power to execute capital punishment has gone from Judah. It went from Judah. Let me say this while you're turning to John 18. When the power to execute capital offense, capital punishment, is given up or gone, then the scepter's gone and the power to rule and to reign is gone. One reason is so much confusion in the world today, that power has been surrendered by the nations of the world. Now here, in John 18, verse 28, at the trial of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. They themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, what accusation bring ye against this man? Pilate had examined this man. Now, what's the charge? I find nothing wrong. They answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. If he wasn't a criminal, we wouldn't have brought him. Now, you quit asking for the crime and the indictment. He's a criminal. Take our word for it, or we wouldn't have brought him. Then Pilate said unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death. We cannot execute a criminal. The scepter's been taken from us. Why didn't someone rise up and say, ho, listen, the scepter's gone from us. And Jacob said of Judah, the scepter shall not depart from Judah until Shiloh has come. The scepter's gone from us. Shiloh must be here. Shiloh must be here. No. No. They could tell by the red sky in the evening it's going to be fair tomorrow, or the red sky of the morning it's going to be foul weather tomorrow, but they couldn't tell about the loss of the scepter that the Messiah had come. Another sign that was evident was that of the ministry of our Lord. In Isaiah 61, we have just a very brief statement concerning the ministry of the Lord. Now, this is important. Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Now that was a prophecy of Isaiah concerning the ministry of the Messiah when he came. Now in Matthew chapter 11, we have an experience from the life of John the Baptist. John had come preaching, repent, for the kingdom of the heavens is at hand. John had been privileged to see and then to say, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. But now John is in prison. Where's the king? Where is the king? Where's the one who's going to deliver the children of Israel? Where's the one who's going to throw off the Roman yoke of bondage? Where is the king? And so, here in chapter 11 of Matthew, verse 1, it came to pass, When Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he parted thence to teach and preach in the cities. Now, when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? John, in prison, having witnessed to the fact that Jesus the Christ was the Lamb of God, now has doubts in his mind concerning the identity of him of whom he'd been preaching. Are you the coming one? Are you the Messiah? Or must we look for another? There were in those days, they're looking for two Messiahs. One typified by Joseph, the other typified by David. One is a quiet, peaceful individual, the other as making war and delivering the children of Israel. They had no concept of the cross before the crown. They were looking for the crown and the conquering ruler. Art thou the coming one? Are you the Messiah? Or do we look for another? Isaiah 61 tells us that the Messiah, when he comes, is going to preach to the poor, he's going to minister to the needy, he's going to be with the down and outs, he's going to be with the prisoners, he's going to open the doors. And so we read here in verse 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. You go and tell John the baptizer that there is being fulfilled in me today the prophecy of Isaiah 61. I am come in the spirit of the Messiah in this instance. Having come that way, he's coming back one day as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, as the Lord is talking to this group, ye hypocrites, ye hypocrites. I have individuals today ridicule the teaching and the preaching pertaining to the signs of the times. I have absolutely, literally, actually seen individuals scream and say, the signs of the times. I'm so sick and tired of hearing about that. I don't know what to do. The only one who gets sick and tired of hearing the signs of the times is the one who's not ready. The Lord has given them to us. Now here, the children of Israel, there wasn't an intelligent, knowledgeable Jew in the days of our Lord, but what should have known by the signs which the Lord had given them in days gone by that the Messiah had come. There's a fulfillment of the prophecy of Daniel. 483 years had come. And Daniel said, when 483 years from the decree of Cyrus comes, Messiah will be cut off. I want to tell you something. I care not what statisticians give. I care not what those who deal with genealogical tables may give and who tell you that there's not 383 years between the time of the decree of Cyrus issued and the date of the crucifixion of our Lord, that they are in error, because the Word of God says that from the time Cyrus issues that decree until Messiah is cut off is 483 years. And we'll find that to be the fact one day. They should have known from that. There was the appearance of the star and the wise men. There was the going to Bethlehem, the fulfillment of the prophecy of Micah. The fact that Israel could not execute capital offense sentence. And then the very ministry of our Lord was the fulfillment of the prophecy. Oh, ye hypocrites! You hypocrites! Now, the Lord has given us innumerable signs in the Word of God, causing us to know when the second coming of Christ is drawing nigh. And with the help and grace and power of the Lord God Almighty, we're going to discuss that in days to come. But this present generation of Christians is as blind as was the generation of Jews when our Lord came at his first advent. Watch, for in an hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Father, give unto us a longing to see our Lord, a desire to be with our Lord, a belief in and conviction of thy word to the extent that we'll search its pages, we'll believe its truth, we'll trim our lamps, and we'll be watching and waiting when the Lord comes. Perhaps this morning there's some man, some woman, some boy or girl who'd like to publicly confess their faith in the Lord.